spoken to me so clearly. My prayer is that it's done the same thing to you, where you read it, comes alive, it speaks to you. Daniel 5 is very interesting because it's very short. It speaks about a second king. Some theologians say it's the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. But if you follow it, I think it's his son. And as you look at verse 1 of Daniel 5, Belshazzar, and I'm only going to just say it one time because more likely I am probably not saying it right, so I'm going to say king. But the verse that I want you to read with me together is in verse 5. This is a very interesting chapter. Within the end of the chapter, he is assassinated because of the information that we read here in this chapter. But while he was having a blast, while he was doing his own thing, he did something that it's a really different direction to present the Word of God. We can literally take 10 directions in this chapter, but I'm going to focus more on the, not so much of the interpretation, but more of the application. How can I apply this chapter to my life for today in the end times? And so what he did was he took that which was holy and made it unholy. And when you take something that is holy and make it unholy, the environment behind that is a curse. People always ask me, do you believe in curses? How about generational curses? Well, if it's true that this is his son, father like son, from one generation to the next generation. So I really believe that as we take this word and make it real to us, in the middle of that, verse 5 says, in the same hour, a finger of a man appeared and wrote on the opposite, like wrote something on the wall. Verse 25 gives us what he put on the wall. Father, I thank you this morning that you have spoken so clearly to us from the 9 o'clock service even to this service. I pray that when we leave with some urgency that is spiritual, healthy, and powerful. Something that we can use to make us more ready for your kingdom work, in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen and amen. As you take your seat this morning, I want you to see the theme. I don't want you to forget the theme. I want you to see the theme because I don't want you to forget the focus, the prime work. This message, as I've stated, is for believers, people who are following the Lord Jesus Christ and have an urgency to be used by God from the mind to the mouth to the heart to the body. This message is somehow, how can I be part of the solution, not the problem? And so I have been encouraging you, and I've been kind of, if I may use this word, warning you that this message is for those who will want to make a difference, not only where they live and where they work and where they reside. This message is about making sure we stay firm, and when we meet people and we have contact with people, I read something the other day, you cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. You can't make people miserable and expect them to participate and be part of what God is trying to say and do. So we're learning how to be firm. In other words, take which is holy. God said that it was holy. I didn't say it. Supreme Court didn't say it was holy. A denomination didn't say it was holy. Those things which are holy. And if you read with me and ask that you just kind of quickly follow me, because you find there in verse 2 is what he did. He took something from the temple when they invaded Israel. The Jewish people made them into slavery. They took those things from the temple, and while they were having a good time, they took that which was from the temple and which was holy, made it unholy, and they began to experience the environment of curse. where we must understand as believers that that which God calls holy must remain holy, and we cannot change it. The Bible says he won't change his mind. That which is powerful and revelation from God is from God. It's before the foundation of the world, and we can't change that. And so what he's looking for is people that will hold true to those oracles, where we stand firm. But on the other side of the coin is, how do we love well? How do we love according to the things that are from God? We cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. Either we're doing one or the other. And so what I'm sensing all over the kingdom of God or the body of Christ is that he's really wanting us to influence, make a difference to those that we meet, because our time is short. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way, and I don't want anybody leaving today saying, well, it was a doom message. It was a message that is going to cause nothing but trouble in my soul. But I do want you to hear this. Your time here on earth is short compared to eternity. We don't have tomorrow. But like this king, he really thought he had tomorrow. But he thought everything was okay when he found out that it was not okay, because he took that which was holy, made it unholy, and he experienced a curse. How many know this morning Jesus can set us free from anything? Amen. Amen. So as he warns us, as he informs us, as he encourages us how to live in this culture that is wanting us to redefine God and our standards, our convictions, our ways, and still have great influence, especially if we sense and we feel that we are in what we call last days. Here's another thing that I want you to get out of what Daniel 5 is saying. Even though it speaks about what he did and what took place, and so when he saw the writing on the wall, he began to experience a high dose of anxiety and fear. And I just want to share this with the body of Christ. Fear and anxiety is real. There's nothing fake about it. But it should not control us, because who's in our minds and who's in our hearts, and who's in our minds and in our heart is Jesus Christ. The other area that I want you to grasp as we go forward and understand this chapter, because this chapter, again, we can go 10 different directions, but I want us to be able to focus on that real simple thing. And I have a quote up here that, and again, my title is that your days are numbered. And again, I'm smiling because, again, your time here on this earth is really, really short. We don't have tomorrow, and yesterday is gone, and all we have is today. And so we live like we have another 20 years when I hope you do, and I hope we do, and I always teach and preach right here at New Beginnings, is that God is about today, and that if you want to make the changes, it's got to happen today, because if you want to wait for tomorrow, you're a procrastinator. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Somebody say amen to that. And so if we're going to do it, we got to do it today. Whatever that may be, the vision, the dream, the excitement, the work, the change, the mind, the body, the health, the financial part, whatever that is that God is imparting into your soul, make sure you begin today, because if you're going to wait for tomorrow, it's never going to happen. But this is the part that I want you to embrace. God is a God of order. I just want you to soak that in this morning. God is a God of order. He does not change. Everything he does it in order. And so our first priority as believers is making sure that the kingdom of God is first in our lives. If it's not, then I'll say it as nice as I can. We're more likely out of the will of God. And the will of God is the center and the core of our faith. This is why the quote today is makes sense. Actually, it's Martin Luther King. He's the one who quoted this. It says, "The time is always right to do what is right. This is the time. We don't have tomorrow." The king lived like he had tomorrow. And so when he saw the writing on the wall, his anxiety and his fear went, double portion. He was so overwhelmed that he called all the people who he thought could interpret what was said on the wall and find out that none of them can even come close to the interpretation that was on the wall. And that interpretation, again, what was said was in verse 25. And what I love about God's word, that a good woman who is spiritual and powerful can help and enhance and build and be part of the solution. And his wife said, you know, there's a man in your kingdom who has the Spirit of God in his life. He can interpret it. But because of time, I won't have the opportunity today. But if you follow me in your Bible, I want you to just kind of soak in verse 13, 14, 15, 16 for a moment. I want you to soak that in, because what basically is said, what I just stated about Daniel. And again, I believe that this king is King Nebuchadnezzar's son. And the problem that this king had is what his father had, is that he had a lot of pride and ignorance that got in his way. And so the phrase there, the handwriting on the wall, is kind of like an immediate doom, and it is. But I don't want to focus more on the interpretation. I want to focus more on an application. How can you and I really get the simplicity of this message that will help us kind of get better and stronger in the things of God? So here is what I got out of it as I'm sharing this with you today. Here was his sin. And maybe this morning we might be close to that. I'm not saying you're in the middle of that. You may be close to that. But his sin is that he wasted his life. And so as we look at this, your days are numbered in verse 25. And it's like, you know, and again, I did do some research, because all these wonderful people that he had could not bring any interpretation. Here comes Daniel, who was full of the Spirit of God, was able to translate. But some scholars says that God created his own language for this purpose, for this reason, so that the only person that could bring interpretation would be Daniel. And basically he says in verse 26 is that your days are numbered. And what he did not realize, that his life was short in the context of eternity. This life is fast, but not compared to how long eternity is. Our lives here on this earth is very, very, very short. So whatever we're going to do, whatever we need to change, whatever we need to work on, we can't wait for tomorrow. We got to be able to begin the journey today. And we must recognize, and you'll see that up there, we must recognize that our limitations, we tend to make the most of our lives. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of difficulties. So if you drop down in Daniel 5 all the way to verse 29, I want you to see this with me real quick. And what happens in verse 30, that this king was slain. In other words, his time was up. Okay, I got it. I'm understanding it. If you take a moment and look at me for a moment, but yours and mine is not. I'll say it again. Yours and mine are not. We've got just a little bit more time. We still have time. We have time to change. We have time to realign our life around what God wants. What God wants. I'm smiling this morning. What God wants. And I asked God one day, God, what is it that you want? And when you ask God what he wants, he'll always take you back to that which is holy. Don't make it unholy. And what God wants, it's a challenge, it's faith. We can kind of skip through this community, and we can skip through this life, and we can play some patty cakes in the kingdom of God. But something inside of every one of us, including myself, when I said, God, do you, what is it that you want? I want my people to become light and salt. I want my people to get ready. I want my people to make that which is holy and not make it unholy. I want my people to make a difference. I want them to find their purpose and their reason for their existence. I want them to know what the kingdom of God looks like, because everything else is like a puff of smoke. It's just for a moment. It's gone. It's not even here. And you're like, where did it go? If we look at that in our own personal life, I'm going to be 58 years old. I was hoping you didn't hear that. And it was like I was reminiscing about the 70s just the other day. Watch our children are gone and grown up, and where did the time go? We've all said that once or twice, right? Where did the time go? It's fast. We're living in the call. Even Daniel says that the end times, the days are going to increase, where it looks like it was 24 hours, but really it was only 12 hours, but it became 24 hours. And so everything is going real quick. And then we wonder, how come we didn't enjoy life? How come we didn't take care of life? How come we didn't take care of the things we needed to take care of? So I asked God, God, what is it that you want us to do? I want the body of Christ to make a difference where they live, where they work, where they hang out. I want the body of Christ to be ready for something amazing that no other people in the world have ever seen before. You say, well, Pastor Bobby, it's crazy out there. That's crazy. But not what God wants to do. It may look crazy, but how can we do this? I'll leave you with this. You're going to have to live like you're dying. I know. And there's probably a better way of saying it. But just this morning, as I'm getting myself ready for this morning and for the weekend, I always get an opportunity to kind of read the obituary. And I always say, wow, 94, 31, 40 years old, 52, 13. We don't know if we have tomorrow. And what I love about New Beginnings is that we get the opportunity to start today and finish well. If we're here for one day or 100 years, we are grateful by the grace of God and the grace of God to be able to say, I am up this morning. There are some simple little rituals, some simple little Thanksgiving, some simple little things to make sure that we are prime and energetic and ready, and we're pure, and we're understanding why it's important, what's not important. And I always say to people, is that a problem you can solve today? And they say no. Then I say, that's not a today's problem. But majority of our energy is spent on somebody else's problem or tomorrow's problem, and we forget to live for today. And how do we begin to do that? And that is, again, I know it's kind of tough, it's kind of heavy, it's fast. Live like you're dying. Wow. I say that all the time to wonderful people who struggle with any type of substance, and you have to live like, you know, I can't live that lifestyle. I can't go that direction, because every time I do it, my life becomes a mess. And I got to be tired of my life becoming a mess. And if you're not tired for your life becoming a mess, then you'll never quit. You've got to be tired so that you can begin to make those wonderful changes in your life. I do apologize for getting a little loud in church this morning. So if you want to put God first in your life, you need to start now. Now. I told my son, my last son, you want to make a difference next year in track? He says, yeah. Are you motivated? Yeah. You want to make a difference? Yeah. You really want to run to your pretty? Yeah. Your season starts today. Oh, wait a minute. My first race is not until March, but your season starts today. You want to make a difference in your life, in your home, where you work, it starts today. You don't wait until March. So your training starts now if you want to make a difference. I love what God is doing and saying. I want to be part of the solution. I want to be part of what he's doing. I get so excited when I see you. I get so excited when I see you because I know that you're drawn to the things of God, and I want the things of God. I don't want just to be existing. I want our services to be different, ready, prepared. I want everything that we do for the glory of God. That's why this summer we're saying, you know, let's go win one for Jesus. And right in the middle of 100 degrees, can we just win one for Jesus? And if there's more than one, then we'll celebrate. Because God's love is so real and powerful. So as I close, as Ed comes, here's the first thing I want you to kind of begin to look at. I want you to see it up there. I want you to see it because I'm going to stand over here with you because I want you to put it inside of you. Because you say, where do I start? You're telling me I need to start now. What is the first thing I need to do? Here's the first thing. You got to remember, everything's about choices and decisions and choices. I've chosen to surrender my heart to God. I've chosen to die daily. I made a decision that I want to know God, and I want to spend time with God. I made that conscious decision that I want to get better. I said, well, Pastor, how long you been doing it? Hey, it's not how long I've been doing it. It's where I'm at today and why I want to be different today so that tomorrow, if I'm blessed to have tomorrow, somebody say amen. You get up and say, whoa, we get to do this one more time. Wow, we get to do this one more time. You mean I get to call my mom and say, good morning, Maria, ¿cómo estás? Oh, I'm doing good, hijito. I love to hear that because I am her hijito, just in case you haven't missed that. Are you a mama's boy? Oh, am I a mama's boy? Uh-huh. It's an understatement. But look, it's a choice. And so this chapter, we can, you know, dooms, your time is up, and the attitude, the atmosphere is, you know what? My life here on this earth is very, very short compared to eternity. I know we'll have regrets, but the regrets do not have to keep us in bondage. I wrote this down for someone this morning. I don't know who, but it probably was for me. Do you know? If you focus on the pain, you will continue to suffer. If you focus on the lesson, you will continue to grow. So whatever trials, good, bad, indifference, it's a lesson to get better. That should be our attitude. So number one, I hope you embrace it. I hope you get it. I choose to live every day with a sense of purpose and urgency. Wow. I'm blessed to have today. I get up tomorrow, whew, I got another day. We're teaching a generation that we're telling them that all they need is their mind and their strength and their will. But it's the God that created the heavens and the earth that gave us a mind, our health, and the will. And that's why a lot of families get so distorted and damaged, because they didn't teach the generation that everything we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. And that's why I've come to the house of the Lord on Sundays, to honor that everything I have comes from God, from you, Lord. I don't have much. I guarantee you I don't have much. Oh, but what I have is no money can buy. None whatsoever. And that's priceless. Live like you have unlimited time. If you got to do what you got to do, do it now. Get out of debt. Lose 3,000 pounds. Ooh, somebody say amen to that. Do you know that America, this is documented, America wastes 40% of their food.
40%!
We are wasteful, but let's change that. Here's the second one as I leave you this morning. Put first thing first. Make sure your priorities really are from and centered each day. What matters most is the kingdom of God. Jesus preached one of the most famous messages I've ever heard in my entire Christian life. He said in Matthew 6, verse 31, 32, and 33, he said, Father knows your need and all these things. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. What's first? The kingdom of God. Everything else is useless, vanity, empty. What good is it to raise children and not put God in the middle of their life? Now that's wasteful. I don't blame the Supreme Court. And I don't blame America. I blame the body of Christ not raising up and saying, you know what? Do what you need to do, but I'm going to show you about Jesus, and when you need him, he'll be right there for you. Amen. Those who are helping me with communion would make their way. I love this verse. You'll find this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, 9, and 10. Watch what it says. It says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Didn't say some of your ways. And all, hey, God, what do you think? I'm thinking about having this relationship. I'm thinking about taking this job. And God loves you enough to give you the right information, the right direction. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. It says, honor the Lord with all of your possessions. Not some, all of it. With the first fruit of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty. He said, well, Pastor, that talks about money. No, it talks about principles. In the name of Jesus, principles. So those who are helping with communion would make their way. As every head bowed, every eyes closed for a moment, I want us this morning to leave with one very simple, hey, if I want the joy and the happiness of God, am I putting the kingdom of God first in my marriage, in my home, in my job, in my business, in my life, in my activities, or am I leaving it out? Hey, time is short, but we have opportunity. This king didn't have much of a chance. He wasted his life. Let none of us waste our life. We can't go back and change some things. We start today. What is it that we're going to start today that's going to be the difference? As everyone stands, you are so welcomed.